Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good. All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to another broadcast of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. Today's broadcast, of course, is Friday Night Joy. I want to thank you for joining me, and I'm hoping I'm coming up pretty clear. Amen. I just want to remind everybody before we have a word of prayer is that When Christians Speak Talk Radio, we have several broadcasts during the week. History Bound and Grace Minister Vanessa Williams is every Tuesday at 7 p.m., Declaring the Prince Work with Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray and Friends is every Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with Reverend Ray is the first and the third Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Sheila Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful, Reverend Novita Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Louis McElwain is every third Monday of the month. Marriage Takeover, The Body of One, with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Elston Green, Cleophas Malone, and Tyrone Rose and Antonio Mitchell is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. Amen. And that's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call number. The dial-in number is 712-770-5505. That's code is 732-499. Again, I want to welcome you to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Today's broadcast, of course, it's Friday Night Joy. Amen. I want to continue on with part two, with spiritual warfare, part two. We probably just add some different things to it, some different words and things that we haven't got a chance to cover. And then I'm excited about the word of God. It's definitely for a season of now. Amen. It's a now word. Amen. And I pray that it will bless you. Amen. So let's go ahead and go into prayer. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, God. We thank you for all the things that you are doing in our life, God. We thank you for your love that you have for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, how you have brought us a mighty long way. When we look back over our life and all that we've been through, we know it was truly nobody but you. And we are grateful today, Lord Jesus, because you had mercy on us, God. So, Lord Jesus, today we pray, Lord, for your blessed will to take place. We pray that you will have your way in our life, Lord Jesus. We realize that we can't do this by ourselves. We need you like never ever before. Come into our life and break down every idol and cast out every foe, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, to understand that the season and the time that we're living in, keep us focused on your word and your, because your word is true and your word is sound and your word is full of love. Allow us to not trust ourselves, but to trust in you in spite of our circumstances, in spite of what's going on around us. Lord Jesus, but allow us, God, to continue to focus on you. We continue to pray this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Again, I want to welcome you to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is Friday Night Joy. Amen. And I want to go into spiritual warfare now. Now, I had shared a couple of weeks ago about a dream that I had, that God was saying for the people to go to warfare now, to, you know, and to fight now, you know, not fight physically, but fight spiritually. So we're going to, I mean, that can really go back into a lot of the details of the dream. You got to go back and listen to it. Amen. But what we want to do is that we want to focus on the welfare that we're in. And believe it or not, the church, as we know it, is under severe attack, you know, and judgment definitely has begun in the house of the Lord, and people have turning away from Christ and turning to their own flesh. And it's just all, there have been prophecies and prophetic things that has not come to pass, and just the opposite of what God has designed. And all these things have gone up within the air, into the realm of prayers and different things like that. And we're in a place now that not just only about false prophet, but the love of Christ is not even important anymore. That we can hate someone, you know, and it's the church, not talking about the world, because the world can always be the world, but we can hate someone because of the color of their skin or because of their political affiliation. And we can call them out and say that they're not saved because they don't believe what is Republican or they don't support the Democrats. We can call them out. And this is what all the things that was going on in the body of Christ, because we have got caught up in a warfare that is not our own and stuff like that. And we're trying to handle this warfare, you know, in a non-spiritual way. Okay, we're trying to fight against the flesh and the blood, not really, and we've gotten said at some point that this is not a warfare, it's not against flesh and blood. This warfare is not against flesh and blood. That person that you don't like, because, yeah, I'm going to say it because they voted for Donald Trump, or that person you don't like because they voted for Biden and all this kind of stuff, this conflict, this division, is not of God. It's not of God. God, there is no God in it whatsoever, because there's no confusion when it comes to the things of God, okay? And it's just it's to me that I look at it and it breaks my heart, because I feel like that it's the beginning of sorrows. It's the beginning of men and women turning from the truth, which is the love of Jesus Christ and what he died for, and they're developing their own religion, their own form of Christianity, and wanting it to be more political because it's important what they believe, but also negating the real sin, the real issue, the real things that are going on, and that's pride and arrogance, and that's putting yourself above the things that God loves and the things that God despises, and making yourself ruler of those things and everything like that, and causing others to fall, you know, because we are sitting in judgment of each other, and that's not God. We're sitting in judgment of each other and stuff like that, and damn it, each other to hell because we didn't do this or we didn't vote this way and everything. And for me as a believer and one that loves Jesus Christ, I'm time out for that, man, because the enemy is going around like a raging lion trying to see who he can devour. And he's leaving us, some of us that are not very strong with Christ and our relationship with Christ weak. And he's leaving some of us that are real strong with a relationship with Christ weary and all that kind of stuff. So all these things are going on at the same time, but yet still we need to fight. And yet still, like I said a couple of weeks ago, that God is requiring that we lift up our voice like a trumpet unto him and we declare the works of him. Jesus is requiring that we begin to pray loud and spread not, that we begin to warfare, you know, and not in the sense of a physical warfare, but a spiritual warfare like none other. This is not a time to be looked at or consider yourself as a weak Christian. This is not a time for that. This is a time to put on the whole armor, everything that we have been equipped to put on. It's time to put it on. It's not time to be halfway about it or put on the breastplate, but don't put on the helmet. No, we need everything in this warfare that we fight. We need everything at our disposal. We need everything in place at this warfare that we're fighting at this time. We need it all in place. We just don't have the time now, because the enemy has come and is beginning to destroy that which is holy. He's beginning to disrupt and he's beginning to pollute those things that we consider to be holy and stuff like that. It's not even about love anymore. It's not even about the love of Christ. You know, we hear languages like people are dying left and right and they're damned, and then people are cursing them and stuff like that because they don't believe the same way that they do. all this is going on right here in front of us and everything. And it is the body, it's the true believer, it's that remnant that has to stand up and say, no, that's not so. That there is a balm in Gilead that can heal the land, that can heal you, that can heal me, that can bring me back into the right relationship with Jesus and stuff. And that's where we at, and that's where we need to be and everything. You know, we're in a time and a place that repentance has to be, it'll be up and be in the foremost and stuff. We need to repent. I need to repent, and you need to repent too, because we've become more lovers of the flesh and then lovers of the things of God. We have got caught up in the cares and of this world and not the cares of God. We have mixed the two together, and they don't mix in the thing. But what they do is that when you try to mix them, they just create a big old mess. So we're living in a season and in a time that there's a lot of mess that's going on, and you know, from the White House to the pulpit to the church store to the family, everything is going crazy within the world. Everything is going crazy, not just in the United States, but all through the world. Men don't love each other. Fathers and mothers and sons and daughters don't love each other like we should. And we take everything for granted. But I hear that there's a great cry that's going on into the world. God is looking for his remnant, for those that will love him and those that will serve him, those that won't take down, and those who will stand on the principles of Jesus Christ and on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and those that won't get caught up in this sin and that sin, and whose sin is bigger and what you believe in is bigger or smaller, but get caught up in the love of Jesus Christ. For just like Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, he's still offering his hand and to the world and to the church to remind us, y'all, that we've been bought with a price, truly. We're living in that day, that time and days right now of wars and rumors of war and everything that's going on all around. And there's sickness, there's diseases, there's coronavirus that has basically shut down the government, shut down money, and shut down people doing normal things, and shut down even in some cases of people going to church. There's a warfare that's going on. And we can't handle the warfare as business as usual. We can't fight against the warfare like we're fighting against our mother and our father, our brother and our sister. This is a spiritual warfare. And the best way to do spiritual warfare is through prayer and intercession and turning down the plate and those kind of things. That's how you do spiritual warfare. That's how you do spiritual warfare. There's no other better way than that. Yeah. I want you to bear with me. I want to talk about and Judges and Gideon here and everything. And this warfare that he was getting was physical, because we definitely can apply this to us, what's going on right now. This is in Judges chapter 7. Let me, give me a minute, let me get there in my Bible. In Judges chapter 7, I think that's what I'm going. I don't know where, but we want to talk about this a little bit. Amen. I'm going to talk about this for just a little bit. Amen. Amen. Because I want to talk about this man Gideon and everything, and the battle that he had going on and what he was supposed to be doing. Okay, let me make sure I'm at the right place. So we might have to go to several chapters. Amen. And but I want to. Yeah. It's in chapter 7. Nope. Starting chapter 6. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. It starts in chapter 6, and it talks about how God called Gideon and everything, and the test that Gideon did. He wanted to make sure that God was calling him and everything like that. So he went this thing, and he asked God, "If it be you, give me some signs and everything." And God did what Gideon was asking him to do, and everything. And here, amen. In chapter 7, it says, verse 1, it says, then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the wall well of Herod, so that the host of Midianites was on the north side of them, about the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites to their hands, into their hands, lest Israel buck themselves against me, saying, my own hands have said. And I'm Gideon, I'm really about to do a miracle with you right now, but I'm going to do it with less people that you have, because if these people go to war, they'll say that they did it on their own hand. You know, they won't give God credit. And we think about that's probably the times that we live in now, that everybody's doing things, and they say God said, but God ain't saying nothing, and they're doing it on their own accord and everything. And there's a prideful spirit that has gone on, there's a witchcraft spirit that has gone on into the world to deceive even the very elect, if it was possible, and everything like that. It's definitely deceiving the world. So it's making it seem like that that spirit is doing everything and trying to say that God is in it, and God ain't got nothing to do with it. And then verse 3 says, now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, and whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart every early from the Mount Gilead. And they returned of the people 20 and 2,000, and there remained 10,000. See, with the spiritual warfare that we're in now, everybody can go. Everybody is not fit to do spiritual warfare. Some people are afraid. Some people are high up sleep. Some people are still living and stuck that they should have been delivered a long time ago. Some people are just not ready for this type of warfare. This is not your normal type of warfare. This is the warfare that takes place in the high places against demonic forces. This is not your normal type of warfare. This virus that is bigger than just a regular prayer. Okay, this type of thing has to go a little deeper. Jesus said that when he there's some of the things that he was doing with people being healed and delivered. He said, so, well, he told the disciples, he said, some things come by fasting and prayer. This is that type of warfare that we're living in now. Okay. That type of welfare. Let me read on. It says that, he said, now therefore, okay, that was verse 3. And the Lord said again, the people are, you had too many. Again, you know, everybody came warfare, but there's an elect of God. You know, there's a secret elect of warriors, an intercessor of just for God that he has called and ordained for such a time as this. And those are the ones that I want to talk to right now. You know, those that elected by God, those that have not only the gift of intercession, but have the calling of intercession. You know what I mean? They walk in the office of an intercessor and stuff like that, because they're interceding not on just on their behalf, but they're interceding on the things of God. You know, they have the heart in God. God speaks to them and tells them what they should pray for and tells them what they should be fasting for. And they get up during the night and stuff like that and begin to intercede or begin to pray just like that. Nobody has to ask them. No one has to beg them. It's just, it just comes natural with them, with these type of intercessors, you know. And they're intercessing their prayer language. Their language is not, don't have to be all long and drawn out, and then no amount of thous and these and all that kind of stuff. But they pray what the Spirit of the Holy Ghost gives them to pray according to what is going on, according to the warfare. Amen. It said, the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it should be that of whom I say unto thee, this should go with thee, and the same should go with thee. And of whomever I say unto thee, this should not go with thee, the same should not go with thee. Amen. Amen. So God is giving them, Gideon, some instructions and stuff. He's giving them some instructions of what he expects him to do. Amen. He's giving him some instructions. My computer screen just froze on me. Come on. There you go. All right, he's giving them instructions. So, you know, and when it comes to us as believers, and when it comes to us as warriors and intercessor warriors, I like that name better, intercessor warriors, because that's basically when it comes to us. And there are always instructions that God gives us. Always going to be instructions. We don't just pray like that at the drop of the hand. We pray when the Spirit tells us to pray. You know, we pray when the Spirit says, okay, I need you to pray. I need you to intercede on behalf of the world, on behalf of sick ones and loved ones. He'll give you, in some cases, he'll give you specific things to pray for. You know, he'll give you a name, or he'll give you a city or a town. He'll give you a group of people, specific things. In some cases, specific things I need you to pray and intercede on their behalf. He'll give you a disease and stuff to remove it, to put back into the place of where it came from. He'll give you specific things. If you wake up with so-and-so on your mind and you don't know why you haven't thought about so-and-so in years, but you have a burning desire to intercede on their behalf, he'll give you not just your family member or somebody, you know, there's been times that I've had dreams about people I never met a day in my life, didn't know anything about them, but there was a great desire to intercede on their behalf. Amen. So this is what it says. He said, verse 5, so he brought Gideon. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord had said to Gideon, everyone that lapped up the water with his tongue, as a dog lapped himself that sat by himself. Likewise, everyone that bowed down upon the knees to drink. In other words, they bowed down on the knees, and they put their whole face in there to drink. I want you to separate them too, okay? And a number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink. Okay, 300 men out of 10,000 lapped like a dog. And if you understand the concept of them lapping like a dog and stuff like that, and putting the water up to them, the drinking the water like a dog would drink the water, you understand that they were watching everything that was going on around them. They were being very cautious, but they were being very smart too. Those that bowed on the knees to drink the water and things like that, they was just their focus was just on the water. But those that laughed like a dog, their focus was all around them and everything. And that's what intercessors, as innocent, even in this day and time, we are aware of our surroundings. We are aware of what's going on with us. We are aware that everything that when we see the enemy coming and stuff like that, we will want to calm the alarm. We will want those, the ones and stuff like that, will go to the pastor and go to the bishop and go to them and sound the alarm. We are the ones because we, in most cases, in some cases, may be able to see things that they can't see as leadership. So we have an obligation to God to be obedient and to be also be able to speak what God has given us in some cases. In some cases. So they are lapping like a dog and everything like that, lapping the water up like a dog. And they were more aware of their surroundings. Couldn't nobody just sneak up on them and stuff like that. But when you on your knees and you and you're drinking water like a certain way and stuff like that, you're not aware because your focus is on the fact that you may be thirsty. But these men were thirsty, but I believe that they were focused. They were thirsty, but they were focused. And that's what this type of intercession, this type of prayer, prayer has to take place in our room. This is a time for us to be, you can be thirsty for the things of the Lord, but at the same time, we have to be focused. We can't get distracted. You know, we can't get distracted about what's going on. And that's very important as believers, as intercessors, and those that are special forces, I call them, and stuff like that. We cannot afford to get distracted by what the things that are going on in the world. We can't afford to get distracted by the hearsay and the prophetic words and stuff that are coming out and stuff, and whether they be true or what they be right. We cannot afford to be distracted. We need to be focused on the things of God. We need to remain focused on the things of God. In verse 7, it says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that left, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into their hand, and let all the other people go, every man into his own place. In other words, let everybody go, just let them go home. I don't need them and stuff like that. Sure, some of them probably would have been good, but no, I want to do this, and then I'm doing this for my namesake. That's why he's calling those prayer warriors. That's why he's calling those intercessors right now, even in this day that every time he's calling that remnant. There ain't a lot of them and stuff like that, but there's very few, but they are willing and well able. They're willing and well able to possess the land. They're well able not to be afraid of the giants and not be afraid of what the giants can do. And they've already peaked out the line of salt. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. They already know, representing what God can do. So they know and believe what God can do. They've seen him do miracles time after time and after time and again. So they are willing to fight for the things of God. These men, these 300 men are willing to go forth and stuff like that. They're willing to, and the thing that we need to understand here that's very important, these men were also obedient. There had to be an obedience level to them and stuff like that. There had to be a morality thing about them. There was something special about them, these 300 men and everything. So there was an obedience to go whatever the leadership told them to do, they were willing to do. You know, there was no backbiting. There was no second guessing. There was none of that. It was the fact that, okay, giving you this, if God told you to do this, then let's go forth and make it so. If God told you to do it, then let's go forth and make it so. Verse 7 again, the Lord said to Gideon, about 300 men, their lap will I save you. He said, and deliver the midnight to thine hand, and let all the other people go. So the people took their victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. He sent all those other men away. Everybody got sent home. 20,000, you know. Out of 10,000, only 300 said everybody went home. So they do the math, and that's what? 27,000 men. Well, originally it was 30, and then 20 went home from the south. Then it was left for 10. So the whole army went home except for 300 men. So God doesn't need a huge army of people, but he just needs somebody willing. Here what he needs are people that be saying that, yes, Lord, I know, send me, you know. Yes, yes, Lord, what am I saying? Those that are willing, those that are obedient, and those that have the desire, they're not just to be obedient, but also to go forth and not be afraid. Not be afraid of what the enemy had. The enemy was large and in charge, but he needed a few that were believers that had the faith, that had the trust in God. He needed a few that believed like Abraham and stuff like that. God would supply the ram, that God would supply the sacrifice. He needed a few, like a few of them and stuff like that. Like Moses and stuff that God would give them everything they needed. They would get to the other side of the river of the Jordan. He needed someone like that that would determine and stuff to be obedient. He needed a Joshua spirit and a Caleb spirit and stuff like that. He needed someone like that that was willing to go forth and stuff. So therefore the Bible says, okay, so the people took, verse 9 said, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down to the host, for I have delivered it unto your hand. See, as an intercessor and as a warrior of Christ, if God said it, then we can count it as done and everything. But again, here is the Lord God giving Gideon an instruction. Jesus does that with us. He, the angels of the Lord, gives us instructions. And it's important that we follow those instructions by the letter, man. Line by line and precept by precept, letter by letter, and here, letter down. You know, it's important that we follow the instructions that God has given us to the letter. Don't deviate to the left nor to the right, but to focus on the things of him. And it says, and thou shalt hear what they say, and after it said, thine hands be strengthened to go down upon the host. Then went he down with Pharaoh, his servant, and to the others outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers. Remember that word again, grasshoppers? That's what the children of Israel said. The spies that came back, 10 spies that came back, said, we were like grasshoppers in that side. But here, the grasshoppers being used again. He said, and the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for the multitude, and their camels were without number as a sand by the sea for the seaside. For the multitude, in other words, the army was huge. It was unbelievable, huge, and everything like that. You know, when you see the word multitude, then in other words, they didn't put a number on it. It was beyond any of that number system they could even imagine and stuff. My guess is it was probably thousands and thousands, maybe even millions. And here was 300 men that had decided to do something different with everything, and God chose them. They didn't choose God, but God chose them. Verse 13 said, and when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream to his fellows, and he said, Gideon was watching and listening, and he's following the instructions of God, and said, behold, I dreamed in a dream that, lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it that fell, and overturned it, and the tent lay along. His brother answered and said, "This is nothing else. Say the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for unto his land have God delivered Midian and all the hosts." God has the enemy is beginning to realize that they're going to lose this battle. The enemy is already beginning to lose, to recognize that they are doomed. And God gives them dreams and everything, they are doomed. And they're talking about themselves. They have already been defeated, but not at that time. But they recognize the defeat was coming. And so and it was so we're getting heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof. He worshiped and returned unto the hosts of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered you. Delivered into your hands the host of Midian." You know, the host of Midian. Okay? And he divided the 300 men into three compartments, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand. And that's what we need right now. We're looking for those, not just those average prayer warriors, but these are special forces and everything. And we're looking for them to put a trumpet into that every man's hand, and with an empty pitcher and lamps within the and lamps within the picture. So in other words, he's giving them the only thing they would need to go to battle. You know, God has already given us everything that we need to spiritually warfare. Okay? And this is so spiritual warfare that we talk about. And he said unto them, "Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it should be that do as I do, so shall ye do. And when I blow with the trumpet, and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets on every side of the camp, and say the sword of the Lord of Gideon." Say the sword of the Lord. And if you go back and you go back to verse 14, the fellow person answered that it's 14 said, and his fellow answered him and said, "This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, and man of Israel, but into the hands." So in other words, the very thing that the enemy is saying, God is using that. And getting his instructions of 300 to do what I do and to say the words that I say. He said, when verse 18 said, "When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are in me with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camps, to say the sword of the Lord of Gideon." So Gideon and 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and break the pitchers that was in their hand. And the three companies blew the trumpets and break the pitchers and held up the left and the left hand and the trumpets in the right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Amen. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried like and fled. That's the kind of warfare that we need right now that's going on, not just in America, but all across the world. That kind of warfare. Amen. Let me see where I'm at here. All right. And verse 3 said, and the 300 blew the trumpet, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even though throughout all the hosts. And the host fled to Bethshita and Jerib and the border of Abarimoah unto Tabitha. And he looked. They start fighting each other. They start fighting, and the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Mephiti and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent a message to all of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters and to Bethlehem and Jordan." And then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters. Then they took two princes of Midianites, Orab and Zeb, and they slew Orab upon the rock of Rock Orab, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued the Midian, and brought the heads of Orab and Zeb to the Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. Warfare. Warfare. We're in a warfare, and God is calling for a special elite. Well, not everybody can go. Some of us, okay, some of us wasn't able to lap like a dog. Some of us bowed on our knees and put our face to the water. But he's looking for those that are obedient. He's looking for those that are willing. He's looking for those that are mindful of the times and the season that we're looking. But he's looking for those that's going to be obedient to the call and follow instructions. He's looking, not looking for those trying to make a name for themselves and, you know, to get famous and everything. And say, beginning, I can do what getting. He's not going to look for those to contradict, those that contradict the Moses. He's not looking for those that contradict, like that they contradict the Moses and thought that they could do a better job. But he's looking for those that are willing, 300. And they didn't have any name, but they was willing. They was willing to follow instructions. They was willing. He looked for those type of intercessors to intercede on behalf of his people, those that see the things, that are aware of their surroundings and willing to go forth and speak of the oracles and the mysteries of Jesus Christ. Those that have not gotten political and stuff like that. They're neither Democrat nor they're Republican, nor they're independent, but they follow after the things of Christ. Those that don't put so much emphasis on one sin and forget about the other 600 ordinances of do's and don'ts. Those that don't sit there and judge accordingly, judge unrighteously, and forget that they have some stuff that in their own closet. Those type of ones, those are the ones they've been looking for, that are not afraid to go and battle on their faith and to pray to God and to intercede into warfare on behalf of someone else and the warfare on behalf of the church and the warfare on behalf of the world and the leadership and everything. And I ask God to send the ministry angels and to show them that there'll be more than those that be against them. Those are the ones he's looking for. Those are the ones, those type of warriors. They're bold and they're strong and they're not afraid of the terror of the day, and they're not afraid of the arrows that fly at night. They're not afraid because they know in whom they believe, and they trust in whom they believe, and they know that he will never, ever, ever, ever let them down. So those are the ones that he's looking for. You know, that was there's a resume that needs to be filled out there I can't even say the words right, but there's some requirements that needs to be done and stuff like that, because everybody can't go this route and everything. Only elected few. I told you before that there was like special forces. So God is looking for his special forces. He's calling forth his special forces to come forth in this time and this season, a time and a season of wars and rumors of wars. He's calling for his special forces to come forth. You know, he's calling for his special forces to come forth. Amen. Amen. I can't go any further, because otherwise I'd be starting all over again. But I just hope and pray that this word has been a blessing to you. And spiritual warfare, y'all, that's where we end with all the crazy. We got wars and rumors and wars and stuff like that. We got cults and all this kind of stuff that's going on. And they walk in the limelight of Christianity, but they're not. And stuff like that. We may, in the United States, we might have a coup that might be in operating, and we don't even know that's going on behind the scenes. We have all these things that probably may be taking place that the enemy is trying to destroy and stuff like that. But this is I heard someone today tell me that judgment has definitely come to America. You know, judgment has definitely come to this country and stuff like that. Why? Because we as believers were not in place to handle anything that came up. We were so busy fighting each other about who was right, what to deal with abortion, what to deal with gay rights and all that, and who was wrong. That we forgot the greatest thing was all for the love of a loving God. That died, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. He didn't just die for you, you know, religious people. He didn't just die for you, but he died for the sins of the whole world. That whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, and that was the message of the cross. See, they got caught up and see, they got lost in the political meaning of things that are going on. This is not a political thing. This is a saving souls business and what we do. You know, this is not destroying your brother and sister and everything. No, we enter the business of bringing them back into right relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we do. The only God that I know, the only King that I care about, and his name is Jesus Christ, right? Or Christ is in you. Jesus, the resurrected Savior. I don't care about the kingship of man and all that kind of stuff, but give me Jesus. Give me him, and let me walk worthy of the vocation I'm called in him and everything, so that I might see his face one day, so that I might hear him say, well done. That's what I want to do. I can't speak for nobody else. I can't do for nobody else, but I truly, for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord. We choose to serve God. People have given up hope. They're committing suicide and everything. And but yet we fight against each other. People are doing their hungry. They have lines of starvation. People don't have food. People don't have money. They can't even provide for their family and stuff. But we, some believers, we're caught up in other things. God, we repent right now. And we lay ourselves prostrate before you, Jesus. That you, Lord Jesus, might come and have mercy on us. We pray today, Lord Jesus, that we have taken or did anything that was unrighteous unto you. In your name, we repent right now and throw ourselves down at the mercy of you. Have mercy on us, Jesus. We need you in this day and time that we live in. We need you, Holy Spirit, because we realize that we can't do this journey by ourselves. Bring us back into right relationship with you. Allow us to repent. Allow us, Lord Jesus, the opportunity to say, Lord God, I've sinned and I've fallen short of the glory, but I know that you love me so much because when you went to the cross, you knew I would fail. But I'm here back like the prodigal son, open arms, and whatever you need me to do, I will do. Whatever you need me to go, I will go because I believe in you. I believe in you, Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, yeah, well, I'm done for right now. But we'll be back probably on Sunday. And whatever the Lord leads us to do, we'll do. But it's important that you realize where we're at. And well, check out your around and be aware of your surroundings, but don't be distracted. Okay? The men that lapped up the world like that, they're aware of their surroundings, but they weren't distracted. They won't focus them just on the water, you know. They was focused on all that was going on around them. And they was also focused on looking out for their partners. You know, we in this thing together and everything like that. You know, your iron sharpens my iron and stuff. And we need each other in this day and time. Amen. So y'all be blessed. You know, keep on holding on. Don't give up. And know that God loves you. God bless you.